Powerful, powerful words. Thank you, choir.
Well, it's great being here with you today. I know what's going to happen when I get back to Georgia tomorrow. I'm going to get a call from Sonny. He's going to say, Doc, did you meet my son? I'm going to say, well, he was supposed to be in chapel, but he was praying for us today, so it's all right. That's great. I'm never wanted, just the day that you don't want anybody to know you're not there, somebody calls you. I mean, it's just, I laugh because it happened to me so much when I was in chapel in college. And now I'm president. He'll be the next governor. You never know. It's great to be with you because this is where God is. I always like to be where God is. It's exciting to be around men and women who love God, who are carved by God, who really want to hear from God. But I found that in my own experience on a college campus and in seminary life and even traveling around the world, the hardest place, perhaps, to hear from God seems to be the place where God is. We go through our college experience and our seminary experience listening about God and listening to God and listening to speakers talk about God. I came in last night and I was at Hampton Inn and a good guy behind the desk is a seminary student here, and he said, we had Johnny Hunt here yesterday, and tomorrow you have Dr. Merritt. I said, whoa, how do you follow Johnny Hunt? Well, you don't. You just kind of sneak in quietly and smile and wait till tomorrow the next chapel speaker comes. It'll catch you later on. Don't worry about it. But sometimes we just listen so much about God that we don't really hear from Him. And I believe there's anything I could say to you this morning that I hope would shake you, it would be, it's time for us to start hearing God, not just listening about Him, or even listening to Him, or listening to speakers give great sermons and great oratory speeches and great exegesis of Scripture and taking notes and learning all we can learn about God, but hearing from God. I believe that's the greatest need in the church today, that men and women who love God actually hear from Him and then share with those who want so desperately to hear, what have you heard from Him, so that we can learn together and hear from Him. My wife and I spent 15 years in Africa as missionaries, and Africa is a great place to learn parables, and they're always about animals, and I can recall one of my favorite. It was about the lions, and the village chief gathered all his villagers together, and he said, now listen, I don't want you going outside the village gates, because there are lions out there, and if you go outside the village gates, the lions will get you, and I don't want you to do that. And he would speak to them over and over again. He said, do not leave the village gates. If you do, don't go by yourself. Go with someone, because there are lions out there. And if you venture out on your own, the lions will devour you. You'll not have a chance. You won't survive. Well, there were those who listened to the village chief but didn't really hear. And so they would venture out, and as the village chief said, the lions were there, and they would pounce on them and one by one take them back to their cave. Well, at the end of the day, the lions had a whole large group of people who didn't hear. And here they were, all these carcasses, and they were still hungry. They wanted to go and see if they could just get one more. The old lion was there, and he didn't want to go. He was tired. He said, you go ahead and go. I'll guard these carcasses. The young lion said, okay, I'll go, but I don't want anything taken from the carcasses of these our supper for the evening. Don't touch anything. The old lion said, go on, I won't touch anything. And so the young lions went back to see if they could find any more who would sway away from the village. And the old lion looked at the carcasses. He looked over and over again. He was so hungry. He said, I wonder what I could take from these carcasses that wouldn't be missed. And so he looked at the head and, no, I can't take that because that'd be obvious. And looked at the feet and, no, that's too obvious. And hands, that's too obvious. And then he saw the ears. And so he began to pull one at a time off and munch them. You know, just like Pringles. Just can't eat one of them. Just kept popping those ears in. And pretty soon he ate all the ears. And when he finished the last ear, the young lions come roaring back and they're hungry because they couldn't find that one more victim out there, and they were just roaring, very, very hungry. And they got back in, and they looked. And the young lion said, oh, there's something missing here. Something missing. And the old lion said, no, these carcasses are just the way we left them. And the young lions kept looking and finally said, no, I think these are ears. Humans call these things ears. And the old lion said, no, humans don't have ears. If you don't believe me, go back to the village, you'll find out. And so the young lions took the old lion back. And they were kind of on the outside of the village, and they heard the village chief scream out, you, my villagers, you, all day long I've told you, don't leave the village, because if you do, the lions will pounce on you. You, my villagers, you don't have ears. The lion's, the old lion's right. Humans don't have ears. In one sense, it's humorous. In another sense, it really tells us who we are. The Bible in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, 7 times says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." What is the Spirit saying to the church? Hear. Doesn't say, "He that hath an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying," but hear. I believe there's a great correlation between hearing and listening. Great difference. And probably the hardest place often to hear from God is on a seminary campus. Because we study, we dissect, we analyze, we do all kinds of things to figure out what the Word of God is saying. And we listen, and we listen, and we listen, and we listen. I know that's the case that I have with my students on campus. They listen. They listen well. They get good grades. And we send them off to you. We have a good group in Schuylkill Falls College here this year. And more are coming in the spring, and more again in the fall next year. They listen well. We want them to get beyond listening to hearing. Because when they get in the churches and they begin to minister to people, we want them to hear from God so that they can give to those who are waiting to hear what is it the man of God has heard today. Not what great tape did they listen to, what great sermon did they hear on television, what great series did they get when they went to the seminar, how many other things did they make, how many more things did they copy down that they could just give out. But what have they heard from God? And my friends, today I want to encourage you, stop listening. Start hearing. There's a great difference. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were friends, and the friend that we were staying with, I was there for weekend meetings, and Saturday afternoon we were watching a football game. And a perfect example of listening and not hearing, you who are married, you understand how difficult it is for husbands to hear. We listen, but we don't hear. And my wife and the wife of my friend said to us, we were watching the football game, she said, "Honey, will you take this ironing board upstairs?" It's two flights up, two stairs. We said, sure, we'll do it. Right in the middle of the game, and you know that it's ungodly for anyone to interrupt her husband while watching a football game. It's just not allowed. You understand that, those of you who are spiritual are saying that. So we went through this period of time, all through the whole first half. And they kept saying, "Honey, would you take this up, take this up?" And we would nod our heads, yes, we would. It was at the end of the game. Upstairs I went just to see what's happening, and there my wife was there with the ironing, and it hit me. She said it way back in the beginning of the game. I listened, I acknowledged it, but somehow I didn't hear, because hearing always brings a response. Always. And in the Word of God, when the man of God or the woman of God hears from God, there's always a response of obedience to what God says. And so that's why I'm saying to you this morning, we need to stop just listening, but hearing, so that we will respond. And when we hear from God, we will respond in obedience. And when that happens, there's absolutely nothing that God won't do through you or I as He unleashes His power in and through us. Those are defining moments in our ministry, when we hear from God. This morning I want to give you three examples of that. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And we all know the story here. In fact, if there's one message that we hear at least once every year on campus with the chapel speakers that we bring in, it's Isaiah chapter 6. Everybody goes there. It's one of those John 3:16 passages. Everybody goes to Isaiah 6. A great passage on the call of God. Great passage on obedience. But there's one word that I want to throw back at you because of the purpose of what I want to say this morning. There's a great difference between listening to God and hearing from God. Isaiah chapter 6, let me give you five quick R's, and you can write them down because I'm not going to preach the sermon, but I'll give it to you free anyway, and then we'll go on to the second point. The five R's of Isaiah chapter 6, the first 8 verses, are revelation, realization, recognition, renewal, and response. There you go, you've got it. You've got my message for this morning in five R's. But in reality, that isn't the message. That's just about what happens in Isaiah, as all of a sudden he gets a revelation of who God is. In chapter 5, we see Isaiah woeing everybody. He listens to God. He's doing the God thing. He's doing what he's told to do. He's a good woer. Woe is all these things. He's out there preaching good news. He's out there telling people to shape up. Get right. Be a change agent. Don't continue to do things the way you've always done them. He's out there speaking things. Whoa. Stop doing this. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. And all of a sudden, he sees God. And when he sees God, he sees God's holiness. And as soon as we see God and see his holiness, then all of a sudden we begin to see our sinfulness. And we see what God is looking at. And when we see what God is looking at, all of a sudden it shakes us. This is what God sees every day. This is what God's looking at. And when we begin to see what God's looking at, we begin then to have a renewal of our own perspective, who we are and what needs to happen. And then there's a response. And in verse 8 is the word I want to leave with you. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell the people. Before Isaiah had a chance to see God, and before Isaiah had a realization of who he really is, who God is and what God is doing and what God can do, he was out there doing, listening, but not hearing from God. He couldn't hear from God until he began to see, God is looking at me. This is what God sees. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a world of unclean lips. I'm not doing things like the way I ought to do them, the way God wants me to do them. There's something that needs to change in my life. When he began to see those things happen in his life, God began to do a work in him, inside. And then when that work began, inside, out, all of a sudden, when he realized that his iniquity was taken away, his sin was forgiven, all of a sudden, then it was as if all that wax and junk in his head that kept him from hearing God. This is the prophet here. He's already got his PhD. He's already learned a lot of things. He's out there doing. But now he hears from God. And when he heard the voice of the Lord, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, he could now hear. And when he heard, he responded. Immediately when we hear the voice of God, we know that God is speaking to us. We know what God is saying to us. We respond. But powerful things happen when we do that. And Isaiah responded in obedience, and he then went. Here I am, send me. We'll go to Acts chapter 10 real quickly, please. Acts chapter 10. I love this portion of Scripture because it talks about two different groups of people, and both of them had a similar experience. The first one is Cornelius, and he is living in Caesarea, and he's a centurion, and he's got a lot of people under him, and he's a very religious man, very devout. He prays, and the Bible says in chapter 10, verse 3, Cornelius is doing his usual thing. He's praying. About 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw a vision, and an angel of God who had just come to him and said to him, Cornelius, see, God knew him. And fixing his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, if your prayers, your alms, all that you've been doing, they have been received as a memorial gift to God. Now, dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he'd explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. 33 miles away to the south of where they live. You see, Cornelius hears from God. He was a religious man, but he didn't have a relationship yet, but he wanted one, and so he was praying, and he feared God, and he wanted to know God, and so he's talking to God. God responds to that. And God says to him, I want you to send your servants, go down to Joppa, and look for this man. Here is where he's at. This is where he lives. This is his name. Go see him, bring him back. He's got a message for you. He heard from God. He wanted so desperately to understand that he brings three people around him. I love that about the third world. My wife and I traveled over 30 countries, and we've been literally around the world and preached in so many different places. We see God moving so phenomenally overseas, because when people hear about God, they want to respond. They already have a framework to receive God in their head and their mind. Most of them, they understand the supernatural, especially in Africa and Latin America. They understand that. So then when you tell them about Jesus, they respond, not by the tens and the thousands, but the tens of thousands. Phenomenal ways. So they don't analyze, they don't scrutinize, they don't say, wait a minute, I got to go to a committee, got to figure this all out and see what it means. No, they accept. And here, Cornelius says, okay, I've been praying. This is part of my custom. I've been praying, trying to find out who God is. Speaking to God, God's not speaking to me. This is what he told me to do. I'm going to do it. Not only is that, but he finds three other people, say, okay, this is what God said to me, and I want you to go find this man. Can you imagine what those three people were thinking? They're marching 33 miles by foot, 2 days, the Bible says, and they're going to meet a man they never saw before. First of all, he's a Jew, and they're not allowed to even speak to a Jew. It's politically incorrect, and they're going to go speak to this man. Why? Because they heard from the man who heard. They didn't even hear it directly. They heard from a man who heard from God. But they received what they heard. And at obedience they went. In verse 9, the next day as these guys were on their way, already on the way, Peter, he's about to have lunch. And so before lunch, he goes up and he begins to pray. The Bible says he became hungry in verse 10, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance and beheld the sky opened up, and a certain object like a great sheet came down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And the voice came to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means. By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again, a voice came to him the second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And this happened three times. And immediately then, the object was taken up into the sky. Peter was a religious man with a relationship. He had one. He knew Jesus. He understood what the scripture was saying. He lived and breathed and loved Jesus. He was out there preaching. But when the voice of the Lord came to him in a vision, it was perplexing. He didn't understand it. And almost like the lifestyle of Peter, he argued in his vision just like he argued when he was not in the vision. And three times back and forth. I mean, if you're into numbers, that's a great thing to study. I mean, three times again, Peter goes through this. But it's interesting to me. When the vision finally leaves, in verse 17, Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision was saying, what it meant. While he was trying to figure out, the voice comes, "Yo, Peter, are you there?" While he's figuring it out, God already brings the response. There they are. These guys are calling out. "Behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, go downstairs, accompany them without misgiving, for I have sent them myself.'" And Peter goes down and says, "Behold, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" Then these guys go through this whole story. Well, Cornelius, he heard from God. A religious guy, devout guy, everybody loves him. He heard from God, and he told us about you, and that you have a message for us. Peter did the unthinkable. He brought these three men in to the house of another Jew. Against the law. Politically incorrect. Not allowed. Not only did he bring him in, but he fed them. They spent the night. And can you imagine what that conversation must have been like? "What did Cornelius say to you?" "Well, he just said this. Only a little bit. What God said to him." And Cornelius obeyed God. And Peter said, "Well, you know, I don't know the whole story either, but this is what I heard from God, and so we're going back." Not only did Peter go back, but the Bible says he gathered some men with him. So now you got seven of Peter's friends, three, you got 10 or so men traveling back 33 miles. Going back from Joppa to Caesarea. Can you imagine what that parade was like? What are these Jews doing with these guys? How come the Jews and Gentiles are together? A politically incorrect statement. Huge thing. Simply because they heard from God. There was a defining moment in their life when they heard from God. Friends, when you hear from God, it defines who you are. It defines what you will do. It defines the impact that you will make. Because it will be a God moment for you. I tell my students, it won't be an academic moment. It won't be that thing that you all of a sudden understand in class. Oh, that's what that Greek exegesis means. No, it will be a God moment when he says, "This is why you're here. This is what I want for you. Now take what it is I'm saying and do something with it. Make an impact. Make a difference." And our students go out and do that, and so do you. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through life without that defining moment in ministry. And yet there's so many who do, who kind of just go through the course. Do what they have to do to complete the task, get the degrees, have that piece of paper behind their desk, so when people walk in, they can see, here are the places that I have learned. Here are the things that I have studied. Here is my library. Here are the tapes that I have received. These are all the seminars that I've been a part of. Here are some of the books that I have written. Here are some of the places that I've gone. Rather than, this is what the voice of God is saying to me. Listen.
listen. I need to tell you this morning that the church today is tired of seeing all of our books. They're tired of seeing all of our videos. They're tired of hearing all the good things that we have been a part of and done, because the world does that. They're so hungry to hear what it is we have heard from God. They are waiting for that. They are waiting for that. May I say, that comes from God to you. It doesn't mean that you can't get excited and you can't get spurred on from something you hear from someone else. Of course not. That's why we do what we do. That's why we're educators. That's why we're teachers. That's why we're preachers. Because God tells us to go and share that. But it's not from us that you're going to get it. He who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As I look around, I see all of us have two ears. Maybe for some, we have hearing impairities and it's difficult to hear. Maybe for others, there's blockages there. But all of us, God has given the ability to hear through one way or another. When Peter heard, he followed. He didn't understand it fully, even until the moment came when he was there in Cornelius' household and there was a house full of people waiting for him. Oh, you've come. Now tell us what it is you want to say. Can you imagine how embarrassing that must have been for him? What am I going to say here? Well, and he begins to tell him the dream he had. And then in verse 14, opening his mouth, Peter said, "Ah, I most certainly understand now. Here it is, I now understand. God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation that man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea," and he begins to proclaim it and say it. All of a sudden, Peter understood. I now understand. Here's the message. Message is peace through Jesus. He's Lord of all. Not only of us Jews, but to the Gentiles, to everyone. That's the message. Peter got it. Can you imagine what it would have happened had Peter said in that discussion with his vision, in the argument, and then afterwards when he was perplexed, if he would have given in to his fears and said, "Wait a minute, this is not politically correct. I can't do this. I have my call right here to the Jews. I cannot do this. This is not going to be acceptable to my peers, to my brothers. No one's going to believe me. It's not going to happen. I can't do this. There's no way I can entertain these men here in this house. It's not even my own. And there's certainly no way that I can go back with them. Who will see us as we go? There are no cars to hide in, no trucks to lay down in. No buses to be cramped. We're walking. And everybody who walks to that road sees us. And everyone knows the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. Like a little t-shirt. I'm a Jew. I'm a Gentile. They know it. Can't hide." All those things going through his mind. What if he would have just given into all that and said, "Thank you, God. I appreciate what it is you're saying, but I cannot do it." Who would have taken the word to the Gentile nation? How would have the church then scattered had he not responded? And certainly, as he went through the whole thing in the last part of chapter 10, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that blew his mind theologically, because at that point, it was impossible. And now he's seeing it. You see, when he responded in obedience, even if he didn't understand, he responded in obedience because he knew it was the voice of God, and he did it. It was a defining moment in his life, and it changed the course of history. And that's what happens to you and I when we hear from God. You will have that defining moment. It will be so powerful as you are hearing from him. And you know, there are many ways that we can hear from him. But every way that we hear from him is always couched in what he's already said in his word. I have people all the time that come to me and say, "I got a vision from the Lord." I said, "Good, what is it?" And they begin to tell me that vision, and it's so out of bounds on what God says in his word. I said, "Wait, go back again. Go back again and see what God is saying here. Understand that God speaks through his word. His word, what he says in his book, he does. It's here. You don't have to have any other book. Just know this one. Just know this one. Know it well. Inside out and outside in. You can never know it enough. And there's more in it. So it'll take you your whole entire life. Don't worry about finishing it. Just know what you know and know it well. And when you do that, you will be a refreshing wind, a breath of fresh air to your church. I speak to a lot of pastors' conferences and see lots of pastors who are burnt out, tired out, worn out. They've gotten in all kinds of hassles and fights, and they say, we can't handle this any longer. Every single one, when you go back to the very beginning and find out and begin to counsel and pray with them, is where did it break down? And to a man, and to a woman who's involved in the man, to a person, the breakdown was in the book. They got away from the book. And they got caught up in all the videos, and everybody else's books, and everybody else's words, and they began to preach the word of Adrian Rogers. I love Adrian, we're friends, but I don't preach his book. I read his books, but I preach the word. And it's so easy for us as students to get caught up in other books, except the book, and then we don't hear from God. And friends, everybody will know when you hear from God. Worse than that, they will know when you don't. They will know when you don't. And so while you're here, get all you can get. Soak up all you can soak. You are sitting under the world's best. It doesn't get any better than what you're getting. You're learning. You're being taught by the very best. Take that. But put it in its perspective and say, okay, thank you, God, for what it is I have learned. I have learned how to read your word. I've learned how to study your word. I have learned how to hear from you. Now, Lord, I need to hear from you. What is it you're saying to me? When Peter heard, he responded in obedience. When Cornelius heard, he responded in obedience. When Isaiah heard, he responded in obedience. When you hear, respond in obedience. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful group of men and women you have in this place. Soldiers. Soldiers. And God, you are preparing them, informing them, and teaching them in the best possible way. And Father, I would ask by your Holy Spirit that as they are learning from the best, that you, O God, would speak to them through your Holy Spirit, that they would hear from the best. And that's you, O God. Would you speak to their hearts as they study your word? Would you put into them a fresh hunger and thirst to hear from you so that they can go to the churches that you call them to and the work and the ministry that you call them to, that you've raised them up to be a part of? And those who are so desperately waiting for them want to know that they have heard from you so they can hear as well. And Lord, how can we teach others to hear from you if we ourselves have not heard, or if it's been so long since we have heard? So God, I pray for each one that you would so encourage them today, you would renew, excite, rejuvenate, re-energize, clear out those passages in the ear lobes that would block them from hearing your word, hearing your voice to them, that they, oh God, would just be able to hear from you. And Lord, when they do, I pray that they will obey what you are saying to their hearts, that they will have a defining moment in their ministry, in their life, that will change the course of their history, and they will be impactors in their world with the love and message of Jesus Christ. Only you can do that, God. We as educators can't do that. We can't teach them that. They have to apply. So God, would you bless them and encourage them and use them mightily? The world is waiting for them right now. Their world is waiting for them now. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and we'll receive what you say in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.